Well, hello everybody and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show. And if you're just dialing in, this is your first time listening. This show is introducing amazing women, women who have often risen from tragedy to triumph and are now out there doing impactful work that is worthy of showcasing to the world. Sometimes it's in their local community, sometimes it's global. And today it is global. It's massive, massive impact. So I'm delighted to be joined by one of my good friends and guests, supermodel, award-winning actress, international media personality, and that includes producer, director, as well as writer, author, and amazing public figure and celebrity, Clarissa Burt. Hello, Clarissa. How are you?
Hello, Yvonne. I'm doing really well on this New Year's Eve as we are pre-recording, like you said, before we start.
Yeah, we got so much going on. We got to try and squeeze this in.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we can say Happy New Year to everyone, but we'll be saying it to you ourselves because everybody else will be well past that.
Yeah, because this will air on Tuesday. And so everybody else will have done their celebrations, but I think it's really great to bring forward this New Year energy today in this interview. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, this is a show about showcasing intriguing stories and looking especially at those things that I am passionate about, which is helping women, as I know Clarissa is. Mm-hmm. My focus is helping conscious leaders, women entrepreneurs, often they're solopreneurs, and they're ready to scale up to being a CEO, but they don't necessarily have the confidence to do it, understand how to hire their top team to lead and empower them with grace and ease. So that's quite a bit of the focus of my 2022 is the conscious CEO. And I'm bringing forward work from my best-selling book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. And as I was reading through Clarissa's new book, which we're going to talk about, it's so interesting to see the parallels when we start to understand what it is that makes a difference for women to show up confidently. And the book we'll dive into, it's this one here, The Self-Esteem Regime, newly released by Clarissa and her team. So it's actually available in audio as well as the actual paperback version. So congrats on launching that, Clarissa.
Thank you.
That was quite a feat, wasn't it?
It was a feat. It was a long time coming. It was something I wanted to write a long, long time ago. And, you know, the book is amazing, but I know that I'm never going to really sit down and write. So I was doing a speech on stage and Gary Krebs, my literary agent and ghost collaborator, I think they call them now, or collaborating, not non-ghost. I'm not exactly sure what the new political term is, politically correct term is. But, you know, he heard my speech. And when I got off stage, he says, I have to write your book. And I thought that was really, that was really the foray into the last 3 years where we really went. I mean, I was up to his house in Connecticut a couple of times. We met in New York City a few times. And I took him all the real guts of the book that I wanted to make sure were going to be really impactful for women. I think that this is really the year of self-care. We went through this in the mastermind last meeting, and it was so important. I think it came out as a really like a screaming theme that we really need to be taking better care of ourselves and giving ourselves permission and making it a non-negotiable self-care, you know, being and reading a book like this is very much a part of self-care. I don't think there's anybody on the planet that doesn't have some itty bitty, you know, little skeleton in some place in their brain that they've got a self-esteem issue, no matter what it is, the way we look, the way we feel, the way we sound, the way we, whatever it is, we're constantly with those daily demons. We're cutting into ourselves, cutting into our soul and cutting into, you know, where it is that we feel that we are lacking. Yeah. I'm here to tell you that we're not. We are not lacking. All we need is a little, you know, I call this a rah-rah session for women. For me, Yvonne, this is not, it's not a book. It's a mission. It's a movement. It's something that I want all women to be able to read, get their hands on, and learn through the 12-step system, or I call it a regime. regime is nothing more than an organized way of doing things, right? So it's meant to say, all right, big girl britches on, you know, you've got my permission, please go. Just do it, you know. All the, you know, the fear. I've lived in a lot of fear my whole life. Well, I'm going to admit it, but it never served me. I don't think it's ever served you, and I know it hasn't served anyone else.
Well, I think in my book, I was referencing. I can't remember who originally said it, but you know, fear, F-E-A-R, false expectations appearing real, and I use an example of. When I was at a self-development camp, I was actually one of Harvecker's, I think it was Warrior Camp, and the exercise was to climb up and stand on the top of a 10-inch diameter telegraph pole. Well, you had a harness on. However, climbing up was one thing. Standing on the top without worrying and fast-forwarding to what might happen if I fell, if I couldn't get down, if the rope broke. You know, as soon as we start going into future, that's where the fear is. But if we stay present and we are standing stock still on top of a, I say in this case, it's a 30-foot tall telegraph pole, there is no fear in the present. There's no fear in the past because it's happened already. No fear in the future if we don't go there. So it's really a key piece. So for those who are listening and saying, well, I don't know who Clarissa Burt is. Why did she write this book? What gives her that background, that credentialing? A little bit more. Yes, motivational speaker, entrepreneur, award-winning multimedia producer, actress, and radio, TV, and film personality. So you were in The Neverending Story, I believe.
I was.
one of your acting roles.
Right.
Also began her career at the age of 18 as a model with the Wilhelmina Agency in New York City, and then also modeling in Milan in Italy, and then appearing in 20 films. Sorry that I just mentioned the one. But also being a associate producer of the 2019 film Wishman, and hailing from Phoenix, Arizona, now building out this global movement and your multimedia platform called In the Limelight. So it's multimedia, it's TV, it's magazines in print that I was able to make a contribution a couple of times with articles for the In the Limelight magazine. And also be on your show too, in your TV show. So that's
been
a great cross collaboration. I'm really looking at, you know, this whole topic of self-esteem. What did you experience growing up and in the modeling world that also fed into the importance of putting this book together?
That's a great question. Let's just say that, you know, the home life when I was a child was very unstable. And so it was angry and it was alcoholic and it was just kind of one of those places that, you know, as a young child, you're already starting with the, you know, sort of like the PTSD kind of situation. Did I say that? Is it PTSD or PS? Yes, PTSD.
PTSD,
And so, because I get those sometimes mixed up and people call me out on it. And so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't always just, you know, the happiest land place to be. And I watched my mother, you know, be, you know, fairly poorly treated. And that was something that really had an impact on me. Then we went up to my grandmother, who was a beautiful woman. My grandmother was so beautiful. And she wound up in them. She didn't think, you know, she was thin enough. And so she took some diet pills and they went sideways into her esophagus. And she choked to the point where she had to then spend 6 weeks in the hospital recovering because of the diet pills that she was, you know, taking. I was one of the luckiest women in the world to have been able to call myself a supermodel back in the 80s. I was on every major runway. I came home with 250 magazine covers. I was really one of the, you know, one in the industry. It would be probably considered one of the top 5%.
Right.
And I saw girls even there, that, you know, some of the most beautiful creatures on the planet, so unhappy with themselves, in toxic relationships, doing drugs, or just kind of, you know, not really living to their fullest potential. And this was something that I started to see a pattern, and it really just kind of gnawed at me. And every time if I were to go into a bookstore, Yvonne, it was always to the self-help section. I never read a romance. I never read fiction. I never read a biography. Never read a biography. I never read it. But I went, boom, right to the self-help section. And I would just devour it as much as I could possibly, because it was a way for me to learn. I wasn't going to get it at home. And I certainly wasn't going to get it all, let's call it, on the streets of the world as I was traveling all over the place as a younger girl. So this is something that I really just adored, was be able to get all the information that I possibly could from just, you know, motivational, inspirational reading that was, you know, leading me in a whole, down a whole different path than what I had known as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so interesting because you've heard my story too, yeah, from me being on your TV show.
Yeah.
You know, my father had PTSD, came back from the war, got a bullet in Dunkirk, grazed him, and he just was one of the thousands, hundreds of thousands of men returning to England.
Yeah.
That didn't get treated. I mean, there just weren't enough resources. Maybe they didn't think it was important then, but it showed up as him being a very angry, mean man. You could,
yeah,
you know, one small thing would set him off. And that was the reason why I wrote my book, Words, Women,
yeah,
and Men.
Back in the day, I think they called it shell shock, and it wasn't very manly to come back and be whining about anything. That's what men were supposed to do, and men went and did it, and they came home and were still expected to be men. And obviously, I mean, we all know that that's just not quite, that's a fairy tale, right? So, you know, the Greatest Generation, I think, was the one that really needs, you know, probably deserves our loudest applause, and certainly more thanks than we could probably ever muster. But it just wasn't the thing to do then. Now we talk about things. Now there's, you know, there's an openness and a communication around, you know, I could be on I don't know if it's happened to you. I could be in an airplane sitting next to a woman and I know her whole life story by the time I get to, you know, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I mean, it's just kind of what, you know, it's just one of those kind of, I open up, she opens up, we talk, I talk, we pull out tissue, she'll pull out a tissue, like whatever it is. Women are really good at that. I had somebody call me out on Facebook, and it was a gentleman, not last week, I guess it was. And he said, you know, Clarissa, it looks as though your book is being really positioned for women, but what about us men? We want to read it. We want, and I went, yep. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was, and it's funny because that book started out with a pink cover.
Mm, I see.
And I changed it because I wasn't getting a lot of, let's call it, a lot of wiggle room with the publisher as to how I really wanted the cover to look. And I would have done something completely different. And I went down a blue path, not necessarily to attract men, but because I wanted to be more calm and serene. The word regime was already a little, like, could have been a little jarring. And then I wanted the blue tones, the blue and the light blue to just sort of give a calming effect. So that's kind of how that came along. But it's for everybody. I mean, there, you know, look, I don't know if I know anyone that, you know, has 100% self-esteem. And if you have it today, you may not have it tomorrow, because that's just the way life is. Something's mm-hmm. going to happen. Something's going to change. Something's going to trigger you. You know, something, that's just the nature of life.
Yeah. Well, we all have things that happen to us. And I say to us, because, you know, when you're under six, when your personality is forming, things happen generally to you because you're not, you know, able to necessarily stand up for yourself, or, yeah, You know, you're looking at your parents and people around you as role models. And, you know, sometimes we just don't know that something is actually not right. It's not morally right because we don't have that awareness at those early ages. So
the more
I interviewed women for my book as well, because I, you know, included 13 stories from, or quotes from, women who are, you know, confident and successful, influential women. It was so interesting what came out of those stories. I mean, even when I talked to Marcy Shymoff, who, you know, known for her Chicken Soup for the Soul series, but more importantly, her own book, Happy for No Reason. You know, even she shared, you know, talking about her, you know, one of her biggest talks, and what happened. Well, you have to read the book to hear the rest of the story, but in essence, realizing that even though she had on the outside all these things that most people would say, well, you know, have a great husband and that beautiful house, check, 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 check. She wasn't happy, and she was bursting into tears. And why was that? So there are always layers. I think, I know in the coaching world, as a certified executive coach, a lot of times people say, oh, it's like peeling an onion. Well, I work with women and women entrepreneurs, so I look at it like an unfolding rose. And eventually we get to the center, which is where the seeds of impact really lie. And as soon as those seeds can be spread, that's when we really see the pollination and the beauty and a movement starts.
Yeah, I think if you remember also that everyone has a story, you know, everyone has a background. I think it really incites us to be kinder. You know, I mean, if I ever feel like I want to go off for somebody or, you know, whatever it is, you know, I find myself stopping and going, gee, I wonder what's behind that. Or that might've been an inner child movement that whatever that is, you know, we are all delicate and we all have our stories. So, it really did change my perspective as I was reading and learning all of the things that I so desperately needed to learn about, you know, how to become a better person and how to, you know, create relationships and stay in them and how, you know, all of that, which I have not perfected. Again, you know, I've got my daily demons that I deal with every day. And, you know, you never reach that 100% status, right? It just doesn't exist. It's not a thing. 100%. I'm 100% self-esteem today. My self-esteem. No, but you know, I think the goal is to, when your feet hit the ground in the morning, that you are living in happy, healthy self-esteem to the best of your ability in the moment, so that you can have a better relationship, not only with yourself, but certainly with those around you, no matter what. It could be just opening a door, you know, for someone at the supermarket, whatever it is. That's still the acts of kindness that help make you feel, you know, so good about yourself, just being a good person, you know. Most people, you know, I think once when they read the book, and we're doing the work in the mastermind, and I really do think that it's, you know, from the feedback that I'm getting from the 18 or 20 of us or so, session by session as we go through it, is that there are a lot of things that we're working on that we kind of even forgot about.
Yes.
You know, we're just so set in our ways, Yvonne. We're, you know, it's this way and I did it that way yesterday. I'm probably going to do it that way tomorrow. And as we go through release and rebuild and responsibility, and now we're working on replace.
Yeah.
What is it that we need to replace in our life? Is it a relationship? Is it a mindset? Is it a pre-existing, mindset, a pre-existing, you know, thought process, whatever it is, what do we need to be replacing now? And so I've come up with some pretty cool things that I'll share at the mastermind, but yeah, it's been, it was, and remember also that these last almost 2 years have been, for many, has been a time of loss of self, lost of faith, lost of the path we were on, lost of family, loss of a friend, loss of self-esteem, loss of a job. And so there's been a lot of pivoting and a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is the kind of books that we have written are books that women need to get their hands on, because no one's going to show up. There are no magic wands. Nobody's going to show up out of the blue and say, hey, listen, I know what's wrong with you and I can help you fix that. Nobody's going to do that.
I was actually just looking, because all of the self-esteem regime, the title of the book, is an action plan for becoming the confident person that you were meant to be. Yes. So all of the words that are the chapter headings, mm-hmm, begin with RE, like regime, right?
Right.
I was just looking to see if re-energize was one of the words. It's actually not, although we're close. We've got reinvent.
No. Yeah.
Release, yeah. Rebuild, etc.
We talk a lot, we energize, we talk a lot about more of the, you know, taking the time off when you need. And certainly, you know, as we had said before, even in the mastermind this week, is, you know, schedule it in. Don't tell me you don't have time. You have time for everything else and everyone else. You know, schedule, put it in your calendar. Now, that may sound a little silly to some, but you give me a better idea.
Well, the idea I've seen is, when someone says I don't have time for that, what they're really saying is it's not my
It's not a priority for me. I am not a priority to myself.
Exactly. So once we make that call, particularly as women, and this, mm-hmm, is why, you know, my first, you know, half an hour is always get up before everybody else, no matter what time everyone else is getting up, I'm up before them and I'm doing my daily ritual. So my meditation, my journaling, etc. So I'm fully grounded and showing up whole to the rest of the world. Because how can you serve if you're not in that state.
Absolutely.
And then as the day goes on, you know, there are things that will come up, and sometimes, you know, you can stay on an even keel, mm-hmm. and sometimes it'll kind of knock you sideways, but it's more about how quickly can you bounce back, because we all have stuff.
Sure.
And the more resilient we are, the more tools we have in our toolkit, the more reflection yeah. we've done on topics like what's in the book.
Yeah.
That I think that gives us so much more power to mm-hmm. say, I got this. I might be out of the game for a few minutes or for an hour.
Yeah.
But I'm bouncing back because I got this. My rock solid foundation is still there. Mm-hmm. And there are some tools and some skills and some yeah. support people in my world who are special that can help me stay on track.
Yeah. I also love the mirror work. The mirror was something that I always used as a tool, and that was mostly for my business, but I never took the time to really stop and take a look at myself. It was there and I was looking at myself, but I wasn't looking at myself. Yeah. And that was the whole, you know, I wasn't looking into myself. And that is something that the mirror work that I talk about in the book, and Louise Hay has talked about it, Jack Canfield has talked about it, is very powerful work. I'll tell you, it will move mountains if you do the work. And as many other things do. But that is one thing that I really do insist on with the book. And any kind of self-care. So I was telling, you know, my mother recently about, you know, the conversation that we had at the mastermind and self-care and how important it is. And we need to be scheduling in it. She said, so what have you had then? What did you do for yourself for self-care? You know, like,
all right, mom.
Yeah, you know, yeah, right. Exactly. All right. Well, no, she meant like in the last couple of days. Why? Well, I said, I did my nails and I have the essential oils diffusing, and I have lounge chill music going on in the background. And I took an Epsom salt, you know, bath. And I went down this list, and I think I really shut her up. She was like, wow, I guess you really, yes, I do. And I'll share also that, you know, this last year, somehow my blood pressure almost doubled. Now, I don't know why. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I, you know, I'm pretty healthy for, you know, an old broad. And, well, I'm a little age, you know, I'm a little up there, but that having been said, I was not expecting, you know, the blood pressure. Boom. I was at the doctor's yesterday. I made sure, you know, he knew what was going on. I didn't get blood pressure medication, but, you know, he told me, you chill out. Let's calm you down a little bit. And if you come back in a week, and he just thinks it's circumstantial. And I do too. It's circumstantial. It's kind of the holiday season. A couple of other things that happen in my personal life around the holiday season. And I'd have to agree with him. I don't think it's any more than that, but I stopped everything. I made sure that, and I had a million other things to do, Yvonne, as we all do. Mm-hmm. You know, we all do. But you know what? The world kept turning and nobody, you know, keeled over. Thank God it wasn't me either. And, you know, I went to the doctor. I came home. I picked up where I left off. So we just have to, I think, you know, learn how to give ourselves permission until we understand as women, we don't need permission from anybody for anything.
No,
just do it.
I talk about that in my book. You know, don't ask for permission. No. Ask for forgiveness if needed.
Right.
Because otherwise you're giving away your power, because you have a 50% chance the other person's going to say no versus yes. So you just diluted your power. Don't do it, ladies.
Yeah. Ladies. Yeah. I think a lot of women have difficulty with that because they're worried about the tribe that surrounds them. And the tribes adapt. It's funny how they will shift when you do.
They do shift.
You know, give it a try.
Yeah, they do shift. And you'd be amazed at how many people have also commented when someone is standing in their strength. They're in their resonant energy. They're quite clear where they're going, what they're up to, what their impact is. And they don't waver, because it's sometimes like we get tested. You know, and someone says, well, how about this? And how about that? I had a client last week said, you know, can I shift my appointment to this, to the next week? And I had just in the last month decided I was going to do my calendaring different in 2021. So I have 1 week of coaching and then 1 week of not coaching, where it's, you know, strategy and other proactive things. And then another week of coaching. So I thought, well, I just decided I'm going to do that. So no. These are the open times during the coaching week, which one will work for you. I'm not going into the next week.
Yeah.
And she's totally respected that. And she said, yep, I can do this time.
Yeah. And I think her confidence.
I felt like I wasn't supporting her. I wasn't role modeling for her what that assured, confident, but polite, no thank you.
And that's of course. And that kind of that kind of confidence, it's really quite an attractive thing. Mm-hmm. It's an attractive thing to be, and it's an attractive thing to see.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that more women are learning from women that are like that. Like, wow, well, she can do that. Well, I guess I could too. Let me learn new boundaries. It's all about learning and creating new boundaries, learning about how to create boundaries, and then just setting them in place. And letting them, and then putting them there and letting them be. And by the way, this doesn't mean you have to come in with a whole bunch of anger and a whole bunch of attitude. None of that.
A polite conversation.
Yeah.
A polite and respectful one on both sides.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the fact that you mentioned this week, I mean, I think some people are off this week. Some people are planning. Some people are working.
You and I were going to be here on New Year's Eve.
This is the perfect week for elevating self-care because we're in between Christmas and New Year's and the world has not really gotten started until next week.
Right.
So, depending on what preparation you want to do and sort of hit the ground running on Monday morning. But I don't want to get into that crazy frenzy. I'm going to be planful. I'm going to be mindful. I'm going to be strategic. And I hope my coach is listening. and it's going to be different in 2022 than it was at the tail end of 2021, which got a little bit crazy.
Right. It's funny you should say that. And I heard somebody say that, and I've heard it many times, but I was listening to a podcast a couple of hours ago, and they said, hit the ground running. And I thought to myself, gee, wouldn't it be nice if we just gingerly place our feet on the ground and walk? And I say that because maybe that's one of the reasons. This is silly, but I think you'll get the analogy. Maybe we need to stop hitting and running and going and just sort of ease, because everything works out in divine timing with ease, grace, and glory.
Yeah.
And I think that's where more of us, it's a place and a space where we need to be playing more.
Yeah.
Instead of the frenzied going, running, doing, producing, and feeling guilty at the end of the day because you didn't get enough done. Well, yeah, you did. You did. And if you took a self-care day and you just lounged a bit and you took a nap and you read a book or you just went shopping at Target, whatever the heck, doesn't matter. You've got to get away from the computer. You've got to get away from, you need your downtime and you need your alone time.
Yeah. Well, I turned off flags on my phone a long time ago. When I'm managing my calendar Monday to Friday, I don't have my phone turned on all the time. It's something that if I'm working on something strategic, I need an hour and a half of concentrated time. Why would I want to get flagged every 5 minutes by Facebook or Forbes magazine?
Right? Oh, I had to do that too, because it was like ding, 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 ding. Well, I said, no more of that. I can't do that. No. And it's no good on you that you did that. I did it too.
Yeah, not required. So what were some of the biggest learnings in writing the book? Because I know I had some ahas doing mine, and I'm sure you did too.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, the way I did was with a publisher in New York City, and I thank them dearly with Roman and Littlefield. They were wonderful. You are in that way, there are a couple more, you've got your hands tied in a few things along the way in the process, i.e. the cover. And that was really it, because outside of that, I had an amazing person by the name of Gary Krebs that, did the writing for me. I don't have the time. I don't have the wherewithal. He wrote it, but I told him exactly what I wanted to do, to say, to be. Mm-hmm. I wanted the clarion calls. I wanted Clarissa's Corner. I wanted the affirmations. I had the review, all of the case studies. They were all important to me. What I really thought would be a little easier would be to find the women that were willing to share their case studies.
Hmm.
Yeah, not every, there are just a couple of them, you know, just one or two that, you know, really just never either didn't answer or just, you know, turned it down. Because, you know, a lot of these are chapters where you're taking a deeper dive. One of the chapters is, you know, there's a girl that grew up in a cult, a religious cult. So there's a lot of things around that. And, you know, she's made it her business. So, but still, you know, I looked for women that had like really like you do, really almost not devastating stories, but super overcoming stories, for the most part. You know, the one that I've already, you know, talked to you in the mastermind about was, you know, the one gal that I found up in Las Vegas, who wanted to get off of, you know, out of the life, let's call it that way. And I brought her home. Brought her home. And I know a lot of people, ah, that's crazy. What are you nuts? No, I'm not. I went with my gut. I knew it was the right thing to do, and I did it. And so I don't know if I'm answering your question really, because I have to say, it really was not that difficult. You know, working with Gary, he was, you know, he knew everybody in the publishing industry, and it was a woman that was at the helm. And I think that she understood that, especially after the Me Too movement, and especially during COVID, because we got the book deal during COVID year, like April of last year, May of last year, of May of 2020, I guess it was. Yeah, May of 2020. And I don't know that anybody was able to see that this is perfect timing for this book. This is the kind of book you want to pick up now, because we're exhausted, we're depleted, we are over it. We're done with the holidays. Now we have to, you know, we have to get up again and face a new year. And yeah, we get to get up again and face a new year. And that's the exciting part, because you can be still anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. Get this book, you know, read the book, go through it, do the exercises, and you're going to find that you're going to find out things about yourself you didn't know, and find out things about yourself that you should have known all along, and find out things about yourself that you didn't know you had in you. So I think it's
Needed
just
to know.
right. It's yeah, it's a great exercise in self-discovery.
Yeah, absolutely. So for anyone who is just being on this show for the first time, the show is generally an hour, so we're just about halfway through. So where can people pick up a copy of the self-esteem regime? I need more copies. Self-esteem regime.
The self-esteem regime, you got me doing it now. The self-esteem regime can be picked up at Amazon. It can be picked up at Barnes and Noble. And then obviously the audio is right there on Audible. I guess that's Kindle and Audible. So everything pretty much on Amazon or over at Barnes and Noble. I'm excited because I'm going to be starting my book tours at Barnes and Noble here in Phoenix in 10 days' time, 2 weeks'
Yeah,
time, something
talk
like
about
that.
what's coming up next.
Yeah, so we've got that happening. I'll be down in Tucson. I don't know all the dates because, as you know, I was, you know, I had all the dates preset in November, December, and then I got sick. So now we're, you know, taking a look at right after the new year. And
Yes.
then I'll move out to San Diego, go up to Las Vegas, go over to LA. You know, I'm in the Southwest, do that because that's drivable. And then wherever else, you know, I might be invited, I'll just, you know, see what, how far it is. And, you know, it's a problem with flying right now, I think, more than anything, but anywhere they want me, I'll be there. And we're working on all the podcasts and television shows and that sort of thing, because it is timely. It is time. And again, as I was saying, right after the Me Too movement, or thereabouts, right after the Me Too movement, this is really, for me, it is another kind of movement. And that is, you know, enough is enough. You know, fear's not getting you anywhere. Lack of motivation isn't getting you anywhere. You know, it's sticking to the norm isn't getting you anywhere. If you are unhappy with your life, or you're uncomfortable, or you're frustrated, you know, only you can make those changes.
Yeah.
Only you can, and you can, you can, you can, you can.
Yeah. Well, it's described on the back here, our revelatory and prescriptive work, the self-esteem regime and action plan for becoming the confident person you were meant to be, helps readers find worthiness through a concrete step-by-step program for, well, this is women of all ages and backgrounds, as you shared. It's not only for women,
Right.
bringing forward your unique mix of knowledge, attitude, and humor
Yeah.
through a lifetime of self-awareness, poise, and assurance. I mean, obviously there's a lot of things that, you know, supermodel, award-winning actress. You also were the director for the Miss Universe pageant, I think, for...
I was a producer.
For 5 years.
Yeah.
And then along the way, living in multiple countries, you have a wealth of expertise to bring to this topic. And as you said, you've been around a lot of beautiful people. And beauty on the outside doesn't necessarily equal strength on the inside.
Well, I'm going to show you for a second, just real quick, where it all started. And when you say, the world is your stage, you've got to stage your world. This is where it all started. So that's little Chrissy Burt in Collingdale, Pennsylvania, who is actually Mary Poppins in the kindergarten play. These are Polaroids that were taken in 1965. And I was six, I guess. I was 6 years old. And that was my, that was the kindergarten play. And I was Mary Poppins. And I got up and I heard the first applause and I went, I like this. I could do this for a lifetime. And so I've been in, I'm not going to say ever since, but I've been in media and or communications in some way, shape or form. I call modeling communications because you're communicating through what you're wearing to the audience. I love it. I just love what I do.
Well, hence the name In the Limelight for your media group, because it is all about media converging with the shift in technology. I mean, you might be listening to this show on BBS Radio live at noon on Tuesday. Just know that there's also a hashtag replay that will pop up in the archives as well. Even though BBS Radio airs live, it also syndicates to 100 other stations globally. And the video version will also be popping up in the archives. So the pictures Clarissa was showing that you can't see if you're listening in.
They're black and white Polaroids.
Check out the replay.
Check out the black and white Polaroids that I still have from when I was 5 or 6 or whatever. But just to give you an idea, I think, that's where I was bitten by the bug. And I knew that I wanted to be on stage. I felt confident on stage. You can give me a microphone, much like you, much like many people. But, I really love the microphone. I actually like being on the other end. I like interviewing as well. That's kind of what I feel I was meant to do. So I've turned In the Limelight into video, which goes out live, television, which then goes on to Roku, Amazon Fire, and the like. I've got 10 different podcast platforms. We've got the magazine, which you already know, but for whoever might be seeing it, we've got the last iteration here, which came out 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, with Gloria Felt on the cover. Another amazing woman that is just, all about empowering women. And then we've also, we've got the press releases and the newsletters and the social, just going out all the time for the people that we serve here.
Yeah. A media platform, a media giant. So multimedia, video, podcast, quarterly magazine, showcasing entrepreneurs globally for the purposes of creating brand awareness, sharing insights, and exchanging ideas. So with that topic of a movement, so the book launched, you're about to go on the book tour.
Right.
And then what do you envision for fall of 2022? For the next piece in keeping this movement expanding and growing so that it touches and impacts so many more women and puts the focus on their own self-care.
I know. Well, first off, the first thing that I would like to see happen would be not only a second book, because there are a lot more rewords that I wanted to get, but I was talking to Gary the other day. I said there are a couple of other letters that I would like, like other prefixes that I might want to play around with. But I would like to see a workbook. Now, this book does have work and homework, and there's all kinds of fun things to do, as we know, because those that are in my mastermind know that we're working through that through this. This book, but I'd like to have a workbook that goes, a little bit, maybe a little bit more broad and maybe a little bit more deep. With that having been said, I really would like to start my events, and the events in a perfect world, I would like to have them in person. So that would mean it would be, the ultimate media mastery, which is what I really want to do. And then there would be incorporated the self-esteem regime into that as well. In other words, I want to be able to teach women how to come out, but I mean come out in all senses, just, you know, really come out of their shell, come out of themselves, come out of the, you know, the old paradigms, and really, you know, step into what is and what is going to be, what's next, through, you know, in-person events. Hopefully we're going to have one also with the mastermind in April. We'll see how that goes. But in, you're talking about fall, I'd like to have my, my events in all lined up. Then if not, we're going to be taking a look at an online event. So I've already been looking, yesterday and today actually, at platforms that I might be able to do the webinar on and, you know, just sort of like help this thing grow. Because it is, you know, I'm seeing the kind of work that's happening with just the 18 of us. Yeah. And I love it, and it's intimate to us, and it's you know, we've been together for a couple of seasons now, and I think that we've created more than a sisterhood. It's really more just it's a family, and it's a safe place to land. Mm-hmm. Should we need that? You know, we're really more business focused, but with you all now becoming the focus group up for the book, it's kind of like a little business and a little, you know, it's personal in business life. And I like that. I like that everybody can come to the table and talk about whatever it is they need to talk about. And if ever one sister is in need, we stop everything and we focus on her, and then we pick up and we move on. And I love that. I love that. Every one of us is willing, able, and ready to do that for the other. But the idea to have us all, Yvonne, in the same room would be such a, I mean, because we only know each other online. I have only seen Mary Holden twice in my life, and she lives in my own town. Mm-hmm. Now, Mary Holden being the executive editor of the magazine, and she's also in our mastermind, we live in the same town because of COVID. So, yeah. I would love to be able to hug everybody in person and just be there for that powerful experience. But I'll be happy to in fall to be able to start our the webinars and just get them started.
Yeah. Well, I think it's what's ended up happening is throughout COVID in particular, because we've for the most part, you know, most of us in business have been living on our lives on Zoom, right, from the waist up, and yet it becomes so evident how the self-care is really happening. And, you know, sometimes I've been amazed that, you know, sometimes I have a business meeting with someone and they're laying in bed.
I know.
Would you invite me up to your hotel room? I wouldn't go, right? First off, especially if it's, you know,
oh man,
definitely if it's a guy. But you just wouldn't do it. And you know, obviously you're used to being in the media, so you know, when we say camera ready, we know what we're talking about.
Exactly. We know what we're talking about. Yeah, exactly. And you need to be, you know, Yvonne, that's a great point. I think you need to be camera ready all the time. And I mean when you are dealing with the public in any way, shape, or form. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I've got flannel pants on right now, but you'll never see them. What you're going to see is what I want you to see and what the camera will pick up. And that's my branding. It's how I want you to know me. It's how I want you to see me. It's what I want you to take away. It's how I want to be remembered.
Well, to me, it's a signal of your commitment to your own self-care, because you only have one chance to make a great first impression.
Right. Right.
And so if you're in a sea of, you know, 30 people on a, you know, little Zoom windows, if you're not finding a way to stand out,
yeah,
because your background is either clean or branded or whatever it is, mm-hmm. it just makes such a huge difference, and you're doing yourself a disservice. So book is definitely all about elevating your own self-discovery journey, looking at the things that are really important in life, to rejuvenate, re-energize, to reimagine. I'm looking at the words, you know, reaffirm, reinvent, repeat, rebound, all of those things. I am loving this book. I'm only 4 chapters in so far, and loving it. And again, I see a lot of parallels, because we're working on this topic of confidence, ultimately self-esteem, confidence, very close hand in hand.
Right.
And my focus is on the power of words, and using and choosing your words in a way that helps you to get what you want. politely, respectfully. Yeah. It's not about nailing someone to the wall or trying to catch them in a lie or something.
Right.
It's about understanding, you know, what's their preferred communication style? How do they like to receive information so they can make a decision? How do you show up and give them a choice and not be asking and giving away your power? A simple example I very often use is the difference, just energetically, between the word could and should. If you should, you know, I should do this, I should do that. It's got that tone of heaviness and obligation. And I'm doing it for somebody else, not for for myself. Whereas if you switch up that word to could, it has this openness, this lightness, this energy of I'm making a choice. And it's so much more powerful.
Yeah.
And that's what.
And at the same time, if you think about it, at the same time, if you think about it, it lands more softly.
It does. Yeah.
And it's, but it's more powerful, right? So going back to, you know, I don't want to hit the ground running, but I want to gently place my feet on the ground and walk, you know, just as a silly, you know, it's just that as you're leveling up, there's a level of you that levels up when you're kind of bringing it down a little bit. You know, your energy levels up, but you're bringing it into a much calmer place. And you know, speaking of words, for example, it's such a great example. I must get 3 to 4 every day newsletters that I've asked for that come in from different dictionaries. And we're going to start implementing this, by the way, in the next mastermind. I have them all here already printed out. It's so fun. But the idea being that I get to learn, you know, for the most part, almost every day, a new word. And I read what it is and I try to commit it to memory so that I then am expanding. I think expanding your vocabulary, and when you talk about leveling up, is one of the greatest things that we can do for our branding, for our image, for our the perceived, if not level of intelligence, or our level of intelligence, being able to use words that, first of all, I just love it. I'm a wordsmith anyway. I just love learning about it. But just being able to, for example, today, I got something, just to give you an idea. Words to use instead of amazing. Because everything's amazing. Well, it's not. Everything is not amazing. And you need to stop using the word all the time. But what if you were to say fascinating or unimaginable or impressive? Breathtaking, shocking, startling, confounding, astounding. There are other ways of using words that kind of say the same thing. But if you were to use, I just love this. I just love getting this. It's a way that I feel, the littlest way of, at all, that I can level up. It's that simple. Words are very powerful.
Words are so powerful.
Yeah.
Your words do matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your words matter because you're paying attention and you're being conscious. So, part of the reason for writing the book was to help more women to not fall into the trap that my mum did of being surrounded by a husband with PTSD. He was a very angry, mean man and literally belittled her all the time. Right. She lost her dignity. And she lost her confidence and she wasn't going out to work. So she didn't even have her own money. She was now a housewife with kids to look after. And he wouldn't even let her drive the car. He took the car keys away.
Yeah.
When we have powerful language, it makes a massive difference because we can pose a better question. Yes. And the one who's asking the questions is the one who's in control of the conversation.
Absolutely.
And you can showcase your expertise without talking about yourself simply by the questions you ask, because you wouldn't be asking that high level question if you didn't understand a little bit about the trend or the industry or what was happening in the world. So one of my favorite things is, know what magazines or what articles or what memberships your boss is following. So if your boss is reading Inc. magazine or Fast Company, make sure that you have a subscription to those magazines so that you can intelligently come to the table and say, hey, did you see that article the other week?
Yes, of
course.
What
did you think about this? It was really an interesting trend, wasn't it?
Great point.
You're on the same level then because you've got that same information as they do. And when I get a book, I'm not really an ebook person. I mean, I did my own audio book, I did an ebook for my book, but I like the physical.
I like the hard copy too.
Because I can, you know, when I come across a word that I haven't used before, or I don't know, I will write it in the back, and then I'll write, you know, I'll look up the definition afterwards. Right. And write that in so that I'm constantly expanding my vocabulary, learning and growing. Right. And then it's in context and it's been triggered. Sally Hogshead did some great work in her book around how the world sees you. That was her latest book. And that topic of fascination, you know, she's known for her work around fascination. And she says, you know, don't try and become something different, but be more of who you are. And she's got a number of tried and true words that have come out of 13 different personality, what does she call them? She calls them, I can't remember what she calls hers, but they're basically, it's the intersection between the word on an axis, and where those two things meet, you've got three or four words that have been proven in her years in the advertising arena and different agencies to be the most effective way to describe something. So instead of recreating the wheel, use what's already proven and pick your three words that mean something. So bold and innovative and courageous are some of my words.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, it comes to mind that I want to go back a second to when we talk about our mothers. And I think I just want to give a shout out to those, my grandmother as well, and our grandmothers also. You know, they didn't have the same possibilities that we do when it comes to, you know, having our own jobs and being able to get up and leave or take the kids and go and know that you'd still be financially okay if you did. It didn't exist back then. So I just, you know, I feel so blessed and lucky to have been born when I was born. And I just want to, you know, I just kind of want to thank all the trailblazers that had to go through all the difficult time. You know, my mother went to 12 years to the, you know, the nuns. So she grew up under, you know, the Catholic Church, pretty much. My father went to 12 years of the priests. Mm-hmm. And so the house was very severe. And when you got married, there was no divorce. Well, my mother should have divorced my father many years before she did. But she couldn't get out. So when she went back to work, she, you know, she had this newfound sense of empowerment and then could, you know, get rid of a toxic relationship and move on with her life. Right. Not all women were able to do that. And I just want to hold them in high esteem for doing the work that they did, which was very difficult to be able to, again, to be able to forge the path for women that we are today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we in Canada, you know, we have our Persons Act, where finally women, you know, five women in particular got together and challenged the fact that women were not allowed to vote. And eventually we did get the right to vote. So the Famous Five was actually started here in Calgary in Canada, where I'm located at the base of the Rocky Mountains. And thank you ladies for that.
Yes.
Because that was, you know, that was monumental. And as we move forward, I think books like, you know, your new book, The Self-Esteem Read. You know, my book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, that's also on audiobook. It's actually on Allsound, my book, as well as available through Amazon. You know, once you read through, having action items, having example stories, having practice questions to really, not only now is it on your awareness, but now you've got some really strong tools to say, what do I do with that information? How can I embrace it? How can I make a shift? Now that I've suddenly realized, I've got some work to do, and I can really benefit. And here's what will shift for me if I put some focus and energy on it. It's powerful.
Yeah. So it is powerful, and some of it's going to not go. And some of it, Yvonne, as you well know, it's going to be a little uncomfortable, and that's okay. And plow through that. I beg you to plow through. You know, when you feel when you're feeling like you're stuck, or you're feeling like it's, you know, again, too uncomfortable, or I really don't want to go to do the work, because what's on the other side is so amazing. the sense of freedom and release from everything that you are still holding on to is going to take you to places you could have never imagined.
Yeah, it's like you know, I did some work a number of years ago on my energetic resonance with a coach who focused on that, and it was really about that clarity so that you can show up in your values, living your values, because you've done the self-discovery work, and knowing that, yeah, you haven't always had things easy, and that's not where we have our greatest learnings. It's not the easy stuff. It's what we have you know, been challenged by, and we've had to push uphill to get to a solution. That's where we find our greatest learnings. So it is about doing the work. So when you chuckled and you're talking about, well, I've been around the planet for a number of years, I think we're probably about the same age, actually. But you know what? It's about wisdom. It's about what can we now share with others that will help them on their journey, not necessarily to make it all the time easier, because you still have to do your own deep work and reflection to make it easier, though. You know, people chuckle when they come to my house and, you know, you talked about Louise Hay on my, you know, one of my mirrors, it says, you know, you are enough. And it's written in bold lipstick, right? And that's the work that we do. And I think that's what keeps us being able to pull people forwards with us and make it a movement. So yeah. I've really enjoyed this conversation today. I know we interviewed together last year, and so much has happened since. The book was not published then. It was about to be coming out. Now it's here. It's in my hot little hands. So if you're listening to this interview, I encourage you, go right now. We're at the beginning of the year, so you have time to make change in 2022. Go right now to either Amazon or Barnes & Nobles, order your copy, pick up your copy, pay attention to the content inside, listen to the audiobook if that's your thing. Busy women on the go on an exercise machine or out walking your dog or your kids, you can learn as you go. It's powerful. Yep. And also I encourage you to pick up a copy of my book as well, Words, Women and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. If you're intrigued by this topic of, you know, elevating from a solopreneur, entrepreneur to a CEO that I mentioned, you can also join me on January 13th and 10 o'clock in the morning Mountain Time. I have the Conscious CEO details on my website, yvonnesilver.com. Thank you, Clarissa, for joining me today.
Thank you.
Any final words in the last 20 seconds?
Thank you so much. Yeah, I just want to pick up and say, you talked about discovery. There's always going to be something to discover, you know? So it's not like you ever get to the point you're like, "Oh, I'm glad I read that book. It's all done." You're going to constantly be working and bettering yourself and discovering great things. And I just really encourage you to go to just do it. Go have fun. Do the work.
Just do it. Thank you, Clarissa. Yep. I will talk to you again really soon. Bye-bye, everybody. And take the learnings. Thanks. I hope you've enjoyed this beautiful interview. Bye for now, everyone.